Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Annie Fry Show YouTube live chat poll of the day is sponsored by Ruler Foods. Low prices, no coupons. Ruler Foods.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a Mary, the sweetheart.
For goodness sake, kid, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a Mary, the sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Happy Tuesday, 12:07 here in St. Louis, and another nice spring day outside. We appreciate you being with us. There are a lot of things that are developing today, and we're going to be blessed in a little bit here to have Jim Carafano on the show at 105. I've been waiting to talk to him about the conflict in Israel right now. We await to see what Israel is going to do to respond to Iran. And I haven't seen his... Would you say that Joe Biden has given the explicit instructions to don't to Israel? I wouldn't say that he's gone that to that. Is that like a remember the what was the color coded terror?
Yeah.
What was that called?
Like red.
We went years.
Yes.
Where there was
like threat level, warning level.
Yes.
Yeah. And then it was like green, orange,
yellow.
No, it's
a green day. You're like, is this air quality or terror threats?
Yeah.
Hard to say. But we will talk to Jim Carafano about that. I have so many questions. I was listening to the news most of the morning, and I just have question after question after question to stack on top of it for Jim Carafano. So we'll get to as much as we possibly can at 105. The jury pool, I think they called 96 jurors in yesterday, and I think they dismissed all 96.
I didn't know if they dismissed all 96. I know at least more than 50 said that they couldn't be unbiased in it.
I think that was of the 96 that they called.
Yeah.
That was the 56. Their reasons.
Yeah.
Did you see Clay Travis?
I did not see what he had to say.
Yesterday, I saw him on Jesse Waters, and Clay Travis tweeted out that the most patriotic thing that you could do if you're in that Manhattan area is get on that trial and cause a hung jury. And I was like, whoa. I'm like, well, but I mean. The idea that somebody is going to get on that jury and not be politically leaning one way or the other.
Right.
I mean, it's funny that it like the fly in the ointment is one person in Manhattan that would get on that jury and be pro-Trump. Like, how dare they? now you know how we feel about the other jurors that
right.
are likely going to be
on this jury. I also saw a report that Donald Trump was like smiling at the jurors, like he's trying to charm all of them. He probably is.
Yes, that's his default setting.
Charming.
The attempt to be charming. He's a salesman.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, he's a salesman, and salesmen, like, if people buy stuff from people because they like the person they're buying it from.
Mm-hmm. And they trust him.
Yes. And so that's what he's trying to do. And, you know, I would say a lot of those people in that jury room have never had a chance to see him.
How many people have we talked to personally, have we talked to on the air, who know Donald Trump personally that, I mean, I've heard this so many times since Donald Trump has been running for office, let alone the president and the former president, that he listens to people.
Mm-hmm.
He pays attention to people. When you know, I don't know, there's a better word for nobodies, like me. If there's somebody who goes to the White House when he was there to visit with him because they have a particular issue that they want to talk about, they get his attention.
Yes.
He cares about them. I have heard so many stories of quiet generosity that Donald Trump has shown people, not stuff that is publicized, but just his generosity, that it's incredibly consistent. I have never heard somebody who went to meet him for a particular purpose say something negative about him. Not a single time.
Mm-mm.
Not a real world person-to-person experience where Donald Trump, as the president, maybe a candidate, has the opportunity to spend time with somebody. They're all incredibly flattering about the way he handles himself and the respect that he gives the person in front of him. I think that says a lot. I saw this recently. It resurfaced. It's probably on Twitter or something. That one time where I think maybe it was a Medal of Honor ceremony or something. Was it for Barack Obama? It was at the White House, and Barack Obama was there, and Joe Biden was there, and Brock had a swarm of people around him. President Obama was the man of the hour, mm-hmm. and Joe Biden was just like shuffling behind him, trying to get President Obama's attention, couldn't do it. Obama is ignoring him, and I don't think that President Obama knew that it was President Biden. I don't. Mm-hmm. I looked at that and thought, I don't think that Obama is intentionally trying to upstage Biden, but it just showed how inadequate Joe Biden is and how good at this Barack Obama is.
Yeah.
Donald Trump is in the Barack Obama side. He goes into a Chick-fil-A in, what was that, Atlanta,
yeah.
Georgia. If you just watch the narrative-driven media on the left, you would not expect that event to look the way it looked. You would expect protesters outside the Chick-fil-A, because it's just like a Tuesday at Chick-fil-A, and, you know, a diverse group of people shaking fists at Donald Trump, talking about how he's a racist, hateful bigot. And that was not the case.
No.
At a Chick-fil-A, the Lord's chicken, and people hugging him saying, nobody believe what the media says here. Joe Biden's a disaster, or whatever it was that they put. Like, he needs to, everyone's saying this, I'm not maybe the last person to say this on the air, but Donald Trump needs to just do that.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to be in court, and then he needs to go to an Arby's.
Yep.
And then he needs to go to a Subway.
Meet the lost, or the forgotten voter.
Meet the voter, M-E-A-T.
And he's on it.
Yeah, see? Let's go, let's get this done. How cheap would that be?
It'd be so cheap, it's great optics, because whenever you go back and you just look at the video, even without sound, the smiles on people's faces were genuine. The people mm-hmm. behind the counter were mm-hmm. beaming ear to ear. That's the president. This is cool. Look at this. You know, they weren't mad at him.
You remember President Donald Trump, when he would walk out of the White House, like that side door, if he was getting on Marine One or something, the press pool would be out there, and he'd like supposed to be going to the helicopter, but the press pool is over here to the left. And he'd walk out and he'd smile and he'd kind of give a little wave and he'd look over to the press and he'd like stick his arms out of his sleeves uh-huh. to make sure he was ready to go, put his hands together, rub them together. And I mean, there are videos of him going, all right, let's go.
Yeah.
And then he walks up to the press and they badger him with ridiculous questions. He didn't back down from that.
No.
You could do the same thing at retail locations. You want to talk about retail politics. You could go to these places and have these real conversations, and they're not all going to be people fawning over him, the way it was at Chick-fil-A, I don't think that he should promote where he's going when he's going. He should just show up. And if he gets, it's like Vivek.
Yeah.
Vivek had lots of people who would come to Ramaswamy campaign events when he was running for president, and they'd be hardcore leftists who came in hot, angry at Vivek, not because of Vivek specifically, but because he represented the Republican Party and what they think conservative values mean. And Vivek would say, you know, like that you'd have the general murmur among the crowd when this person comes in and starts shouting in the middle of a thing and, you know, get him out of here, whatever. And Vivek would say, no, let's listen to what this person has to say.
Yeah.
I didn't see many of those where the conversation ended with the anger that it began with. He wasn't there changing people's minds, but he listened.
Mm-hmm.
Take a page out of that book, Donald Trump, and on a, like I said, a retail basis, go have these conversations and come what may. Talk to real people. Let them talk to you. Become accessible. Because everything that the Biden administration is trying to do to Donald Trump through lawfare is to keep him away from the people. Go be among the people. Go do stuff in New York City. Be present. Yesterday, we asked on the YouTube live chat poll. Let me see if I remember this exactly. Has President Joe Biden done anything in his presidency that is a net positive, a net good? And I think it was 89% of you said no. Couldn't think of anything that on the whole was a net positive. We could think of a lot of things that on the surface sound good, but the actual execution of them hasn't. It's like, do you just want credit for like saying the right thing? Because in many cases, for the left and the right, that's what politics is.
Yeah.
Say the right things. Be on record as saying the right things. Get the soundbite out there. Get the clip out there. And then you're done. Because you could say, no, I've said this before and I'll say this again. Yeah, but what are you doing? So I thought it would only be fair today that our YouTube live chat poll, be, did President Trump do anything that was a net failure in his presidency? So before the people who didn't listen to the show yesterday come on and like, Annie hates Trump. That's not true. I actually really appreciate and respect Donald Trump, and I look forward to him hopefully winning in November, along with my very important vote in the state of Illinois for Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's fair if we're going to ask one day, does Joe Biden do anything good? Like, give me something that he's done that is good. Tell me something that President Trump did during his presidency that you, in an objective observation of his presidency, think was a net failure. Because on the surface, I think the easiest and obvious one has to do with the vaccines and COVID. But when I think about that in long form, how was Donald Trump on COVID in long form? Because there were a lot of mistakes, in my opinion, that President Trump made. But I also remember very vividly in March, in April, probably even May, looking at what everybody in government was doing, you know, Andrew Cuomo, the governor, and watching him have these conversations with the state of New York that they would cover, you know, the press conferences live every day and taking that in. And I remember thinking, like, I appreciate the transparency of what's going on here. And these people have no frame of reference of what to do next.
Mm-hmm.
They're throwing the spaghetti at the wall. And it turns out, in Cuomo's case, he made a lot of deadly, terrible decisions that I don't really think I could have missed it. And I would correct myself if I missed it. I don't think that he's come out and completely admitted his mistakes. Donald Trump has not admitted his mistakes. I do look at what everybody who was in a position to guide the nation and lead the nation during 2020, I do look at everybody and I do understand that the unprecedented nature of what we were dealing with means that people will make honest mistakes. And I think that the question of like, what is an honest mistake? And at what point are you refusing to admit that you were wrong and change course? And I look at states that never shut down. I look at Florida that said, forget this, we're opening up. They opened up in June, and I know that specifically because we decided that week that we were going to Florida to visit our family that was living in Jacksonville. We're just like, we're going. We'd never taken a road trip with little kids before. We were going to, not that far, but we were going to go, and we were going to do it because we needed to get out. It was right after school was officially over, and in my house, we had three kids that were in remote learning school, and my husband, who was supposed to be teaching his class, but he was also teaching our kids, and we were at breaking at the seams with stress and anxiety. And, you know, everybody had the same experience. Everybody went through it together. I just look back at what Donald Trump did through COVID, and I know his mentality at the beginning was, let's be open for Easter. And people in the media were like aghast that he would even suggest it. Like, how dangerous was it that he would say such a thing? And he was talking about freely in front of the microphones because he would be willing to be the person who would answer the questions. You know, people say it's like one of the most ignorant things that people can bring up to me about Donald Trump, because it's like, you clearly aren't listening to what he said, but you are incredibly emotionally invested in trying to prove that Donald Trump is something that you've been led to believe. And you haven't done the research to get past it. But the drinking bleach thing.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, honestly, if that's where you're headed with the conversation, the sooner you say that, the better, just so I know that's where we are.
Yeah.
I'm not going to talk you out of it. I'm not going to steer you away from it. Because if that's the number one talking point, it'd be interesting to see if that's already hit the live chat, because I haven't read the comments yet so far. One of the things that Donald Trump talked about was like, can we use light to combat the virus? Light is used in light therapy is used for things. Go ahead.
There is technology out there that they were exploring about introducing UV light internally into the lungs to be able to help disinfect the lungs from those viruses and stuff like that. It's probably something he heard in a briefing or something. Maybe he didn't quite understand it, but
nor does he need to understand it.
But mentioning it, if it's something that they're exploring, doesn't make him an idiot. And it's not the same thing as injecting bleach.
No. And he, you know, I think the phrase that he said, I don't know. I don't remember if he said specifically bleach, but he did say disinfectant. And when you've already registered your opinion of Donald Trump, the way that I really kind of feel sorry for a lot of these people, because they were sold something and they just haven't been able to let it go. Like, they're emotionally attached to it and very sensitive to it. So I kind of feel bad for people who haven't been able to let that go. To listen to President Trump be up there and say, listen, we're trying everything. Like, I don't want him to be like, I heard someone say that maybe there's some sort of, you could call it a disinfectant. Like, isn't that what a vaccine would freaking be? Oh, my gosh. You could say the same word. A vaccine could be a disinfectant for your body from some sort of, I don't know, an invasive virus. Well, that's not what they want to hear. And that's fine, because if people don't want to open their minds and open their ears to listen, you're just probably not going to be the person who's going to make them change their mind. Something else is going to happen, or it's never going to happen. And I just have too many things to be grateful for and thankful for, and more time that I want to invest in talking to people who want to have actual discussions that maybe end up without agreement, but that you care about each other enough to have those conversations and still be able to move on. So I'm kind of rolling this around. I'm going to think of something else by the end of the show. Did President Trump do anything that was a net failure in his presidency? Yes or no? I have one more thing. Do we have a guest coming up?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay. Some things in the hopper. I'll do this when we come back, unless we get a guest, if we end up booking this one. There's one other thing that I think on the whole, the net failure that I'm going to tell you when we come back about Donald Trump. And Brad, I want to get what you think about this as well. So come to the Annie Fry YouTube channel and vote. We're broadcasting live on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. Did you know you can also listen to the Annie Fry Show and all of 97.1 FM Talk anywhere you go and you have a phone signal or a cell signal by downloading the Odyssey app? It's super simple to do. You find 97.1 FM Talk, you can favorite it. You can favorite the Annie Fry Show. And you go on vacation, you're laying on the beach, and you want something nice, relaxing, and informative. I don't know if it's the Annie Fry Show, but we would still be there if you wanted to listen to us. Chris said to the poll, I said yes. I think the COVID stimulus and restrictions at the beginning was not good, but it was still new. So that's kind of where I am with it, Chris. There are a lot of things I do differently, certainly. Is it a net failure? I wonder. Let us know what you think. We'll be right back.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Man, this is one of those songs that takes me squarely back to about seventh grade. I feel it in my bones. Every once in a while, you have songs that just take you back to being a kid. They played this song a lot, and it was one of the few that I never got sick of.
Do you remember the radio station 104.1, Alice?
Yes, you bet I do. I remember it being on my radio a lot. I don't think it lasted very long.
No, but
Hot 104.1 is really happy about that.
My sister loved that station.
Yeah. I was a huge fan of The River. Mm-hmm. That was maybe my favorite station that ever existed. Like, this, the idea that they played the music, I liked all the music. A lot of times, especially with pop, there'd be stuff that would sneak in that I'm not. And country music, I've always really liked country music, but there have been ins and outs of country that they're not for me. They're definitely for people because they're very successful. But that one, I do. And if I was going to cite a radio station that I listened to that song on, it would have been Alice, for sure. Welcome back to the show. The YouTube live chat poll for today is, did President Trump do anything that was a net failure in his presidency, yes or no? So yes, I'm asking you to come vote on the poll on our YouTube channel, but I'm also asking you for a criticism of President Trump. And I think that there are a lot of people on the left who would assume that people who are going to vote for Donald Trump don't think that the man could ever have done anything wrong, which is absolutely ridiculous because nobody is perfect. And I think everybody is pretty, it's pretty simple to be able to identify that. But I was saying in before the break that I really, there's one thing that I think ended up being a net failure for Donald Trump, and I'm going to get to it here in just a second. Brad is, I think, setting up a guest.
I am.
What time? 125?
Yeah.
Okay. Who?
Mark Lauder.
Mark Lauder. Okay. We had the fishing line out, and we were waiting to hear back from them. Mark Lauder at 125. Yes.
The rod tip was bouncing a little bit as the show started.
Yes. So. Let me ask you this, too, though, before after you get done sending that text message, Brad. But when it comes to President Trump doing anything that was a net failure, when I sent this question to you, was there anything that pinged immediately? Like, that's the one I'm going with.
The initial thing that pinged in my brain was the 2 weeks to slow the spread. I think that ended up being a net failure. But that one's pretty easy.
15 days to slow the
spread? Yeah, 15. Yeah, whatever it was. 15 days
to slow.
And then the bulldozer one where you smash the wave out and you still have the same number of infections, but you don't peak, and that keeps the hospitals from getting overwhelmed.
Yeah, what was it? The curve. Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, slow the curve or something.
Flatten
like that.
Flatten the curve.
Flatten the curve. I think I blocked that out of my memory.
Yeah. That was the initial thing that popped in my head. But I, like I said, that's the one that everybody's going to pick. I think you can unequivocally go back and look and say that the handling of the COVID pandemic has been a net failure, and it's a net failure across the board. It wasn't specific to Donald Trump, but because he was the guy in charge.
He's the buck stopper.
He's the one that gets it. But man, another one that popped into my head was the deal to build the wall.
Ooh, We just had somebody at the break, Rockin' 24, said didn't get the wall finished.
Yes. He had the opportunity to trade, what was it? The Dreamers deferred DACA. He had the opportunity to trade DACA for, like, it was something like 800,000 Dreamers.
Isn't this what John McCain killed?
I thought John McCain killed the Obamacare thing.
I don't know.
Because he just kind of went up and threw his thumb down.
Yeah, he did.
But Donald Trump was a no on trading DACA for the funding to build the wall.
I remember that there was, in my opinion, I know that a lot of people would disagree with it, but on the right, there was a window of opportunity there that I thought, man, people just got stubborn at the wrong time.
Some people don't like his Supreme Court picks. I think they've done a pretty good job.
Libs.
Yeah. But I hear some people on the right like, see, they're a fake. They're wishy-washy. They're a squish. And it's like, no, stop.
They're adhering to the Constitution, not a conservative principle.
Which is what I want from my justices.
And not what the liberals do.
Right. And the last thing that I came up with, and I hope I don't scoop you on this,
I asked you knowing that you could scoop me.
Georgia?
No.
And the whenever he commented on the Georgia elections during the runoff for the senators, he cost us the Senate.
Yeah.
And that ended up costing us a lot of pain and suffering under Joe Biden because more spending went into effect because he was able to do all of that. So
my one that would have me vote yes definitively on this poll is the question is, did President Trump do anything that was a net failure in his presidency? Yes or no? The reason I would say yes is his appointing of people to serve in his cabinet, to serve in his circle. And I think it was a net failure because I think a lot of the problems, we needed an attorney general. The Jeff Sessions thing was the biggest first domino that ended up, you know, like that was a Senate seat that went blue. And Jeff Sessions was maybe the worst attorney general we've ever had in this country. Is that a broad statement? Yes. It's ignorantly broad, honestly. But Donald Trump did not surround himself with good, helpful people in the time and moments that he needed to. Now, with that being said, and again, I remind people, if you're just tuning in right now and you're like, why is Andy talking about the failures of the Trump presidency? Yesterday, our YouTube live chat poll was, has Joe Biden done anything that is a net good in his presidency? And 89% of you said no. And I thought it would be fair and balanced here on the Andy Fry Show for us to ask kind of the converse of that question and ask the same people, in theory, the converse of Joe Biden bad, Donald Trump good. Well, let's question both of those theses and see what you all have to say. Everything, in my opinion, that is being listed that Donald Trump failed on, I really think that a second term he would do differently. And I would say that in the time that he has not been in office, and this is why I'm really looking forward to talking to Mark Lauder at 125, there are distinct failures of the first 4 years that Donald Trump had in office that I think are in large part due to the fact that Donald Trump was an outsider. He wasn't of the swamp. He didn't know how to use the swamp to his advantage, and he wasn't willing to use the swamp to his advantage. That worked against him, but I think that he has sown the seeds of success that could come in the next 4 years. And honestly, it's kind of a thought experiment for you to engage in and tell me maybe how, I don't know, some of you are telling me how ignorant I am on the YouTube chat. Some of you are agreeing. I can handle both. But the 4 years that could potentially exist in between Donald Trump's first term and his second term, Brad, would you agree that these 4 years have laid out a crystal clear focus and given him the actual time to implement, with the American people's support, the changes to truly make America great again for some time that would not have existed without the suffering that we've had to go through in these 4 years?
Right. I think it's given the Americans a view of what can be better and what was done poorly. I think that gives him the time to say, okay, this is how we fix it. And how do we take that fix, that the way that I fix it, and make that stick? Because the problem with some of the other problems that he did was he did a lot through executive order. And an executive order put in place is an executive order easily removed by the next administration. What he needs to do is have some of these policies that he's got placed into law so that whenever they're passed, then you have to pass another law to repeal it. And people won't react, won't have a knee-jerk reaction to them. Because that was my memory of the Biden administration's first 90 days or whatever. It was like, everything Trump bad, let's
that
make
was
it
the
go
policy.
Away. Yeah,
the
Trump bad.
Yeah.
Delete it.
Opposite. Uno reverse.
Yeah. And it is the stupidest policy because everything Trump wasn't bad. And if he would have left some of those stuff in place, Joe Biden could have just stood in front of the parade and acted like he was leading it instead of like, no, got a virtue signal, got to get rid of Trump. And he drove the country into the ground just to say Donald Trump is bad and we're not going to do it his way because it's bad because he did it.
You ever watch Patrick Bet-David's podcast, PBD?
I try to.
He had Stephen A. Smith on a couple weeks
ago.
Now, where in your mind, Stephen A. Smith, ESPN sportscaster, also has a podcast, which I think is with Odyssey.
Yeah, he does have one on Odyssey.
Get him on the show.
I'll see what I can do.
First, get Mark Lauder, then get Stephen A. Smith.
Mark Lauder's set up.
Okay, in the 2 o'clock hour.
Yeah, right? In the 2 o'clock hour. Yeah. 1 o'clock hour.
No, Stephen A. Smith in the 2 o'clock hour.
Oh, Stephen A. Smith in 2 o'clock.
Brad's
going to
quit right now. Stephen A. Smith was on with Patrick Bet-David. Where in your mind, if you're thinking Stephen A. Smith, put him on the map politically?
Left, but to the right of Obama.
Okay. Where is he at on Trump?
He is left of Trump. I think that he doesn't like Trump the person, but I think he might be turning to like Trump the policy.
The Patrick Bet-David interview with him, and I watched 22 minutes of it, and then this is the real story. I couldn't finish it because Molly crawled on my lap and said the only way I could keep watching the show is if I was mommy chicken and I had to cluck. I was sitting here thinking, like, nobody would believe that this is true. She's like, you're mommy chicken. And it's Jared's dad's fault. He taught her how to be a chicken. She loves to do it. And she flaps her wings and she sticks her neck out and she walks around like kind of slow and then she attacks. But she just came up and she was sitting on my lap and she was going, bok, 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 bok. Mommy, mommy chicken, be mommy chicken. So I was like trying to listen to Stephen A. Smith talk to Patrick Bet-David, because if Stephen A. Smith is even remotely in play, hugely impactful.
Yes.
Hugely impactful. And I know a lot of you are like, who cares what Stephen A. Smith thinks? Maybe you don't, but people do.
The people that you want to vote for Trump do.
Oh. So I'm watching. I'm listening. Bok, 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 bok. Mommy chicken. Be mommy chicken. Mommy chicken. Be mommy chicken. Okay. And I'm sitting here going, bok, 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 bok. I'm trying to be bad mommy chicken. So she's like, this sucks. I quit. Nope. So I had to turn off. I didn't hear the very end of the clip that was on YouTube. That is a real true story. And I had mom guilt that I wasn't giving enough attention. Like, I'm always going, at what point do I draw the line? Like, how much am I supposed to commit to mommy chicken for my daughter when I'm trying to watch TV that has to do with work, but I'm at home in the evening? What master do I serve here? Which is why I was going, bok, 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 bok. It's like, I'm barely participating, but I am participating. Stephen A. Smith is on there talking about how it was what a lot of people say about Donald Trump. And I don't think that the people who all say this are not voting for Donald Trump. He just can't get out of his own way. He can't keep his mouth shut. Mm-hmm. He's too sensitive. He's too emotional. I'm continuing to ask these people, when's the last time he said something that made you go, what are you doing? What are you talking about? When was the last time? Because he has done that. He goes on Truth Social and he does type some things out. He is aggressive there. When was the last time he went out and just totally blew it? I can't really remember the last time that he's done that. The closest thing I would get to saying that is an unforced error after he won New Hampshire and Nikki Haley hadn't dropped out yet. And Nikki Haley came out again and really celebrated second place.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm going, what is Nikki Haley doing?
Yeah, what are you doing?
And Donald Trump doesn't suffer fools.
No.
So he says stuff about it. So that's part of who he is. And I don't really love the way he does it. But I mean, like, stop for a second. Just pause for a second. If you're in that camp, like, I just can't stand the way he behaves. Is it worth 4 more years of Joe Biden? It's not.
Mm-mm, no.
It isn't. And I mean, like, When Donald Trump runs his mouth a little bit, which I'm really emphasizing, I have not seen him do that lately. I feel like he's more restrained, or maybe he's just not in front of cameras as much because the Democrats put him in a courtroom. Do you hear how Joe Biden talks about people? He'll be threatening in the way he talks.
Yeah.
And it's like, you don't even know if he's got the wits about him to really understand what he's doing and saying. These are your options. Is that thing about Donald Trump that rubs you the wrong way really worth four more years of Kamala Harris? Because that, did you just choke?
That was a
shudder went down the spine, which is different than the tingle that goes up. Is it Chris Matthews' leg? It's not worth it. And I mean, like, we can't be that sensitive because it's not about Donald Trump and how he makes me feel. It's what Donald Trump does for this country. It's what Joe Biden does for this country or to this country, because that's what matters for my children. That's where my attention is. That's where my focus is. I'm not giving Donald Trump the opportunity to hurt my feelings. I don't care about that. Fix the country. Joe Biden, by all means, you've got some time left in the first term. Fix it now. Close the freaking border. Stop working your way into our homes and telling us where we can make our mac and cheese on a electric stove versus a gas stove, or what car we need to drive, or telling us one thing about our support for Israel and doing another. Get your act together. I mean, you still have time to do it. You still have time to earn people's support as opposed to just relying on people's hate for Donald Trump. Don't be so sensitive to be like, oh, he just rubs some people the wrong way. Yeah, but it's not like the other guy doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much at stake. Let us know in the YouTube live chat poll. Did President Trump do anything that was a net failure in his presidency? Yes or no? A lot of people who like to criticize Donald Trump and anybody who supports him, who we talk to on a daily basis, would say you would never criticize your Lord and Savior, Donald Trump. And I always say I have a savior. I would like a better president, though. All right, let's take a quick break. Go vote. Leave us a comment. Ryan Wiggins and Wiggins America in just a minute.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins! What I have for you today is America by the numbers. Random things that are shaping the way that we live, and maybe trends in the direction or towards something that's good or bad. You can be the judge. The first one is that 20% of U.S. adults say they do not have a primary care physician any longer.
Mm.
The data suggests that the older you are, the more likely you are to have a primary care physician, whereas the younger you are, the more likely you are to just see specialists. Is this something that you think is maybe going to be the way of the dinosaur at some point, that people don't have primary care physicians anymore?
I don't have a primary care.
You don't?
No.
And you're at the younger end of our spectrum, of course. So.
Yeah, but you haven't had probably, you do have some, you have seizures, so I imagine that you have somebody who you see for that.
Yeah, a neurologist, but that's once a year.
I don't think that the idea that people have, since people aren't having them as much as they used to, this, in my opinion, is 100% the fault of the insurance agency. And, you know, when you create a scenario where every insurance or every American is forced to have insurance, you take away the insurance's obligation to compete for customers, because eventually everybody's going to have to participate in one way or another anyway. If we had more competition in our insurance companies and being able to compete across state lines and, I don't know, the benefit of detaching insurance from your employer and so on and so forth, then I think people would be more interested and invested in their own health. There are few things that are more frustrating than fighting with insurance companies. We all have our own experiences of doing that. But I'm hearing story after story after story of people who are the provider that they go to has dropped their insurance carrier because the insurance carrier only pays themselves. They don't pay the providers. Jack, you're paying an enormous amount for your medical care. And then the people who are caring for your life and your health are not getting much out of that because the insurance companies are sucking it all in. It reminds me, it's very similar in a lot of ways to the higher education scam of the government coming in and saying they'll loan everybody money for whatever it is that they want to study. So the colleges and the universities, they all get paid and they can raise their rates and the loans keep coming. So the university gets their money, the student gets their education, and now the government wants to say, oh, and forget about that loan. So the universities get to have these students for 2 years, 4 years, 6 years, whatever it might be, educate them in any way that they want to, and then get those loans completely forgiven. So the American people get screwed there, and the American people get screwed with the health system as well. And you can, I mean, it's just, it is, I can't imagine how many people don't get the care that they need because they just don't want to deal with the insurance companies.
And I would love to know, too, if this is an issue anywhere else. I know on our side of the river, my primary care physician does not accept new patients. And there are a lot of people I see in Facebook connection groups saying, hey, does anybody have a primary care physician that I could see? Because there's so few of them. I think that's related to insurance.
Mm-hmm.
But I would love to know, you know, get on the YouTube chat and let us know if that's a problem where you are, too. Because I was just curious whether that was just an Illinois thing or just a Metro East thing or if that's everywhere. The next one is 88% of workers have sent an email they regret. Have you ever sent an email that you regret? 28% even believe that an email they've sent directly hurt their careers. Now, it's not always subject matter wise. Sometimes it's that you misspelled something that was stupid or whatever. But does anybody want to fess up
to sending
an email?
Yeah, but it was just a reply all. And I so despise reply alls. And I hit a reply all instead of sending a reply.
Shame.
I know.
Shame!
I'm so embarrassed.
Shame! Yes.
I hate the reply all. There's a few things I hate more than that. I hate a lot of things. Insurance companies and reply alls.
Was it an embarrassing message or was it just an accidental?
It was for the Odysseys. I said I'll be there. So I just clicked reply all. I'll be there because they were like,
"You wanted to let everybody know."
Yeah, that right. is not it. I wanted to let the person that was asking.
And then you
know.
Got to struggle with: do I reply all to everybody and apologize for the reply all that
nope,
I just sent?
Just let it die.
Yeah,
let
just
it die.
In shame. The reply all is the worst.
I once sent a message to a large group of people that was highly personal about the girl I was dating.
Oh my god!
Now that girl ended up being my wife, so that's okay. But at the time, it was very embarrassing to share that kind of personal information.
Jim Carafano coming up on the show right after the break. We're going to talk to him about everything Israel, along with Mark Lauder and the campaign situation at 125. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.